Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on hand in the Bay Area for the Niners game against the Vikings, if I'm not mistaken. Gosh, they all blend together now, but I'm pretty sure that's where I saw him. That was the first game of playoff weekend, and it certainly set the tone for not just a phenomenal four games, a quad of games, if you will, but also some incredible moments, both on and off the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. The Final Four is set. And we will have three new teams joining the Chiefs. So the Kansas City Chiefs will host the AFC Championship at Arrowhead Stadium. For the first time in their franchise history, they're in back-to-back AFC Championship games. And to have it at Arrowhead Stadium is huge. They will host the Tennessee Titans, who, if you're keeping track of their playoff history, well, it's been a while. They have not been to back-to-back AFC Championship games. In fact, you have to go back to the 2002 playoffs. So the game was held early 2003. We're talking about 17 years ago since the Titans were in a conference championship game. The last time they won a conference championship was just after the turn of the century. And so the Titans are a team that are playing with house money, baby. But right now, running the ball, being able to stop the run, that's the formula. Oh, and then there's Patrick Mahomes. Gosh, this was MVP magic from Mahomes on Sunday in bringing the Chiefs back. So that's your AFC Championship game. Your NFC Championship will be in the Bay Area at Levi's Stadium. Number one hosting number two, Niners versus Packers. I know it didn't work out for the Ravens, but I will continue to say that having a bye is one of the greatest advantages in all of sports when it comes to postseason. I still think it's a great advantage if you play it correctly. And we have three of the four bye teams who move on to Championship Sunday, but only one that was there a year ago. In fact, this is really neat. Titans, Packers, Niners weren't even in the playoffs a year ago. And now they have survived to Championship Sunday. And that's the name of the game. Survive in advance, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, also on Twitter. We'll put up our Monday MVP poll very soon. But in the meantime, we're asking you the moments that you'll remember from this weekend. Can I give you a couple of mine? I kid you not when I tell you they brought tears to my eyes. In fact, on Sunday, I was flat out crying. David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame showed up on both the CBS and Fox TV sets. For CBS, it was pregame on Saturday before Titans Ravens. And he surprised longtime Pittsburgh coach Bill Cowher by telling him that he will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. So he got his announcement live on TV, and Boomer Esiason told me, so I communicated with Boom. He said that they did not know ahead of time. So it was a surprise to all of them. Somebody had to know because David Baker had to be able to get into the studio. But the incredible reaction from Coach Bill Cowher, and his wife and his daughter were there as well. Of course, he teared up. I teared up. So that was awesome. I did not expect it to happen again on Sunday on the Fox set. But can I tell you, this one flat out made me bawl. So Jimmy Johnson, who not only was a championship coach in college, but also won with the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowls, he finds out at halftime of the Seahawks-Packers game that he is also going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And here's what made me blubber. Troy Aikman, who played for Jimmy Johnson in Dallas, is watching this whole thing unfold. He's also surprised by it. Again, nobody knew. They kept it a really tight secret. So Aikman is watching it unfold from Green Bay and the TV booth, and he's crying. He can barely contain his emotions. And Jimmy Johnson just, he bawled like a baby, which is exactly what I would do and what most human beings on this planet would do. And the really neat thing was that entire set was full of Hall of Famers. It is full of Hall of Famers. And Jimmy Johnson finally gets to join that exclusive club. So congratulations to Coach Cower and to Coach Johnson, Jimmy Johnson. To be able to find out like that, I heart surprises. So those are two moments that I will definitely take away from this playoff weekend that will stick with me, because that's the culmination of years and years of blood, sweat, tears, hours away from your family, probably taking years off your life because of the stress. It's a round-the-clock job. And to be successful at it is no fluke. It's not an accident. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. I am hearing from a bunch of Ravens fans now, and I'm very proud of you. We'll get to some of your posts on our Facebook page as well as your tweets, A-Law Radio. Ronnie is listening in Baltimore. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, good morning, Amy. I just want to say you got a great show. I listen to you every morning back and forth to work. And I want to congratulate Coach Cower and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy was a great coach. And it's funny how ever since he left, the Cowboys never done nothing. And me being a Redskins fan, not a Cowboys fan at all. But I digress. I'll be honest, I'm not a Raven fan. I live in this area, but I'm a diehard Burgundy and Gold. Ron Burgundy and Gold, let's get it done next year. Redskins fan, but my wife's a big Ravens fan, and I actually felt bad for them. Because I was going into it as a football fan with no nerves, no nothing, didn't have nothing in the game, but I wanted to see an entertaining game. And I felt bad for them, how they played great all year and then just kind of like laid an egg. I don't feel bad for their fans, because their fans are one of the most cockiest fans in the world, and they annoy the crap out of me. But it was, I just felt bad for them. And they got a good team. They'll be good next year. They come to D.C. next year, so hopefully we'll get our act together and we'll take care of it. We'll be state champs. Have a great day, Amy. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ronnie. I think you should be a little more gracious with your wife whenever you are speaking to her about the game. I believe that every single fan base has another fan base that annoys the crap out of them, to use Ronnie's words. Joan says on my Facebook page, Ravens Nation is stunned and devastated. There's not much to say beyond that, except we'll be back. Lots of you telling me the moments that you'll remember from this weekend. Eric says the Chiefs awaking after the first quarter and crushing Houston. Tim puts it a different way. Houston's epic collapse. Clark says he's a Ravens fan in shock. Lamar's passing was worse than last year. The passes were wobbly and looked bad. They were late, not on target. Fourth and one, and then doesn't follow his huge lineman. Couldn't stop the run. Just the worst game they've played all year. Maybe too much time off. But great year, bad game. Mitch says, biggest moment, Mecole Hardman's kickoff return that ignited the Chiefs. Yeah, that was a huge one. They had a couple of moments there that got them. It kind of kickstarted them, so to speak. Like they had an old cranky motorcycle that needed to be kickstarted, jump-started a couple of times. But certainly, that long kick return led to the Damian Williams touchdown, and it was quick. Couple of quick passes, and boom, they were into the end zone. And that was early in the second quarter, their first touchdown. Now, it didn't bring them all the way back, but it definitely got the crowd up and roaring. 855-212-4227. Chris is listening in California. Welcome to After Hours.
Chris, hello.
You're up, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So first of all, David Baker, I think that's the best person to induct or deliver the message. Mm-hmm. If you look at Randy Moss's induction too, it'll make you cry as well. I think the Ravens definitely had too much time off. The 3 weeks, they look like a completely different team. Every pass from Lamar was wobbly. They just look like a completely different team. I think that the 3 weeks definitely was too much time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in retrospect, maybe that's something that Coach Harbaugh and his staff would amend, except that you want that bye week. No team in the NFL is going to tell you that they wouldn't take the bye week. Nobody wants to play all these weeks in a row consecutively. The bye week is huge, and you feel so much better after having a couple days off, but maybe not sitting the guys in week 17. I would agree. They were rusty. Still, though, as much as you can point to that, they're only down by a touchdown at half. And so it's not like they're out of it. And yet mentally, I didn't see that same fortitude that marked this team all year.
It was different. And he had to sit them that week 17. Maybe next year he wouldn't do that, but he had to do that this year. And the Titans, I mean, they just caught fire. They're doing it really well. They're in rhythm. They've been playing basically playoff football for the past month and a half.
Oh, gosh, yeah, even longer than that. Because if you go back to mid-season or so, I know they dropped two of their last three, and they were still in the running there for the AFC South title when they lost to the Texans in week 15. I remember that game was in Nashville, and then they turned around and lost to the Saints. But before that, they had strung together four wins in a row. They'd won 6 of 7. So, yeah, their offense took on a completely different identity. But also, as I was watching them play on Saturday night, the words that kind of kept coming to my brain, words like brash and bold and fierce and physical and tough. I mean, that's the identity of their head coach, Mike Vrabel, and that's how he played. And they definitely have taken on that identity as they've kind of done this march here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the moment of the weekend is probably when they didn't get that fourth down conversion, the Ravens, and the next play, Ravens blitz. They play action fake, and he scores that 45-yard touchdown.
Right.
I think that 83 yards that he threw for was probably the best 83-yard passing game that I've ever seen. I mean, we talk about yards get inflated. Dak Prescott had, what, 4,900 yards?
Yeah.
Freaking Jameis Winston had 5,000 yards. It gets inflated. I mean, Lamar Jackson had 359 yards, but – it was from the 20 to the 20 when he got in the red zones. I mean, they were basically the best red zone team the entire year, but this game they were off. And I think that take for granted the year that Lamar had, because he was so great the entire year that you can kind of see how important he was when he's off. When he's off, they can't do anything really.
Well, and no Mark Ingram really to speak of either. So that was another problem, is that he was hobbled.
That's very true. I like Gus Edwards. It was just Lamar was he was off. And now, you know, the pundits are basically they're saying, "I told you this was going to happen. This is in the third." And guys like Doug Gottlieb, I don't like his take. It's hard for them to eat crow. So they point to. This is another subject, but they point to Russell Wilson being the best, doing the most, and then they say that the Ravens had the most Pro Bowlers on the team, but I think that's because of Lamar. They had all the attention on them, so the fans vote for them. I don't think that's a real take. I just know Colin Coward when I'm watching them.
Okay, like, all right. You don't need me bringing up every other radio host in the country. You clearly are listening to the wrong people, though, Chris. I'll give you that. Don't worry about what they say. I mean, the Ravens, if they needed any more motivation, they've got it now in these back-to-back playoff exits. He's still really young, and certainly the Titans did their homework, and they were in quite a groove from the week before. So the Ravens got a hand into them, and it's going to sting. It's going to sting like it did with the Saints. It's going to sting like it did with the Vikings. It's going to sting like it does for the Patriots, and that often can be translated into motivation coming back into the next season.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your phone call, Chris. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And you can always find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as our Facebook page. I was a tweeting fool. A lot of times I try to take off on the weekends, but I definitely was a tweeting fool during the football games and also around the Cleveland Browns reportedly tabbing Kevin Stefanski as their next head coach. So we'll get a little bit of background on that, and we'll continue with a bunch of your responses. It's so much fun to get to this point because of all the excitement, but then you realize we only have three games left.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Third and four from the Titans 31. Jackson will throw. His pass is intercepted at the 25-yard line. And coming down with a pick is Kenny Vaccaro. It's the Ravens' third turnover of the game. And this game might now be out of reach.
We just beat ourselves. You know, we had a lot of, well, I had a lot of mistakes. On my behalf, three turnovers, that shouldn't happen. But, you know, they came out to play. You know, we just started off slow. We just got to do better next time. But moving forward, get ready for this offseason.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
More than 500 total yards of offense, and that's part of the problem, is that Lamar Jackson was the only guy who was racking up the yards. But three turnovers for the young QB, four sacks, and a stunning result. Only trailing by eight at halftime, the Ravens fall to the Titans 28-12, and it's Derrick Henry who steals the show with the ground game. Again, 195 yards rushing, the jump TD pass to Corey Davis to celebrate Davis's 25th birthday. I wonder if they plan these things. And the Titans are the only wild card to survive to Championship Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You hear from Lamar Jackson. And, of course, there's a lot of optimism about this team moving forward. The formula should still work, and they can even get better by adding some more pieces. However, this one stings a lot. 14-2, 12 consecutive wins, and inexplicably, despite trailing by only a single score at halftime, they cannot convert a fourth down. They take a bunch of bad penalties. They're brutal in the red zone, and it became Lamar or bust. It was not quite like what happened against the Chargers a year ago, but there were shades of it. The mistakes, the Lamar turnovers, something that he hasn't done a whole lot of this season. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Corey is listening in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. I just want to say this to you. One day I was getting off of work, and I was flicking through the channels, and when I heard you, I actually listened to you. This was a long while ago. I said, this woman actually knows sports. And it gravitated. So I've been listening to you ever since.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, this, you're right, this thing's worse than the AFC Championship against the Steelers. So this is going to hurt for a while. But there is an upside, and we have to handle it the way it is. So
when I look back, what's the upside, Corey? What's the upside?
Well, Lamar is going to improve. He has a drive. And just like last year when everything happened with the Chargers, he's going to review this and he's going to get improved. And I'm going to stay behind my quarterback. He's going to improve. I strongly believe that because he's taking steps. And with some players, it takes longer than others. Before it's all said and done, he's gonna make his mark on the NFL.
Oh, great. And he already has. He may very well be the NFL MVP. I would be stunned if he didn't win it. And I know it's a difficult consolation prize to accept in the aftermath of a painful loss like this, but an MVP is an MVP. I mean, Cam Newton and the Panthers, they got stuffed in the Super Bowl a few years ago, but he was an MVP. I mean, that's nothing to laugh at. And Lamar Jackson, I don't know the ages, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the youngest or among the youngest, if not the youngest, if that's how it works out.
He's 23 years old. He turned 23 January the 7th, so he's going to get better.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
I believe that. So I have a lot of confidence in him. But Harbaugh, to me, well, the coaching staff wasn't prepared. They didn't have an answer. It's like the Titans knew just about every play that they was running. And keep this in mind, Amy. We have the offensive coordinator of the 49ers, and we had Dean Pease when we beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So he wasn't prepared.
Oh, stop it. This is John Harbaugh we're talking about. No, man, it's not John Harbaugh and his preparation or lack thereof, as you point to, that turned the ball over three times and that led to some of these sloppy plays. I mean, come on, John Harbaugh is one of the best in the NFL, so I don't agree with that. But I do agree that this was not the best representation. The Ravens were not living their best lives, that's for darn sure.
Well, I thank you for taking my call, and I look at it as a privilege to even talk to you because, you up there, sister. I like you.
Thank you, Corey. Have a great Monday. Let's talk to Larry, who's in Detroit. Larry, welcome to After Hours.
How you doing? First of all, I hope you and your family had a nice holiday.
We did. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Just thinking about this, this guy's a young guy. You know, I think the quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy at LSU, I think he's about the same age. I think Lamar, when he won the most valuable player in college, I think he's just 19. And what I'm trying to point out is this guy's still a young guy.
He is.
You know, they go through all these changes and get to the playoffs, and I think about a lot of other quarterbacks that went like that, and then when they got in the playoffs, it's something different happened. Like Roethlisberger, he had won all them games. Then when he got to the playoffs, like Kaepernick, you know, only one I know that went all the way like that, but he didn't win the Super Bowl, was Dan Marino. So it's not no easy task for him. So I agree with what you said. Harbaugh ain't got anything to do with Harbaugh. Harbaugh is an excellent coach. I just think he probably should have waited one more year and let this guy get on the Flacco. Just one more year. Because Flacco is winning Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Wait, time out. I agree with you about that. However, if they don't make the change to Lamar Jackson last year and win six of their last seven, they don't win the AFC North, and they aren't in the playoffs a year ago. So I disagree with that. I felt like they got a head start. Lamar got a head start. They got a head start on retooling their offense and going more to this ball control type of style. And so I will disagree with that because he didn't get hurt. I mean, that would be the only reason you would say, like, oh, why throw him in there? But he got valuable experience in his first playoff start. And I know he's still really young. He's only a few days into his 23rd year on this earth. But every single snap in the postseason is valuable experience that he can draw on.
That's true. And I think he's going to improve as time goes on.
Of course.
You know, one other thing I like to point out, Miss Amy, is this. You know, the guys, the wide receivers he had and the running back, these weren't no big-name guys that he was winning with. I don't know too many wide receivers. But I'm saying he did it, you know, with some guys that's virtually unknown.
Hollywood Brown.
I didn't know about him, Miss Amy. But anyway, their defense didn't show up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this was tough. It was tough to stop or slow down Derrick Henry. I kept thinking about, because people say Derrick Henry's a load, and that led me to the NBA where people talk about load management. And so I tweeted something along the lines of, Derrick Henry has your load management! Who wants to try to get in Derrick Henry's way? It's like standing in front of a freight train.
They got way about 250, don't they? I mean, them Alabama backs, I mean, they be something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, they're going to be all right, you know, just like the Chiefs quarterback, he's still in it, you know, he's going to be, these guys young. That's what I keep telling people, these guys young. They got a long way to go. You don't just come in the NFL like that in 2 or 3 years and go to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
he might be, like you said about Cam Newton, you know, and everything. Like you said, he's the most valuable player, so he should do the job. The guy did what he did. You know, if a team ain't figured a guy out in 16 games, you know, their defense not doing too well. If they can't figure out.
Well, Lamar turned the ball over three times, though, too, which puts your defense in a very difficult position. However, what they did this season, this regular season, is nothing to throw out. You don't just throw out the baby with the bathwater. Oh, my gosh, that's a grandmother cliche. Anyway, Larry, thank you so much for your phone call. I have to let you go, but I appreciate it. Have a great day
thank
in Detroit.
You.
You're welcome. 855-212-4227. Lamar Jackson carried the ball 20 times on Saturday. Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards combined 9 carries. And while Lamar certainly has been doing the majority of the rushing, and a lot of those are scrambles, the over 4 on fourth downs, that was killer. And that's something that they have excelled at this season. And so they couldn't do that. He got sacked 4 times, the 3 turnovers. You can't have that either. And it just became a kind of a landslide downhill for the Titans. However, I'm going to keep pointing it out. They were only down by 8 points at the half. There was no need to panic. There was no need to freak out. They were down by 1 touchdown at home in front of their own fans at halftime. They had more than enough time and the right people to be able to come back from 8 points down. Lots of you finding us on Facebook after hours with Amy Lawrence. Curtis pointing to the football immaturity of Lamar Jackson. Now we have our Monday MVP poll up as well. Brandon getting creative. He says Jonnu Smith's left butt cheek. Remember they had the whole conversation about one cheek is as good as an elbow. One cheek, two cheeks. We even had some, I swear that that was that a game on CBS? Wait a minute. Yeah, it was. So it was Gene Steratore, right? I swear we had Gene Steratore talking about two cheeks versus one cheek. Of course, a lot of the stuff blends together now. What are the moments that you will take away from this weekend? And please vote for Monday MVP. A-Law Radio on Twitter. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tannehill under center. Play fake. Tannehill looking, throwing deep downfield, going for Raymond. Who's there? Can he hold it? Yes! Touchdown! Titans! Khalif Raymond went to the ground as he laid out, selling out, and scoring in the divisional round.
I think for those of us that have been around this league long enough, I think that's kind of overrated, the underdog thing, and you know, it's pro football. Everybody gets paid, everybody has a job to do. You know, we knew we were going to get on a plane a few weeks ago, and as long as we kept winning, we were going to keep getting on that plane.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The voice of Mike Vrabel, and the team has definitely taken on his tough, hard-nosed, fierce, intense, bold, and brash personality. The run game and the ability to stop the run, they controlled the ball, which meant they controlled the game, and yet I still am blown away that the Ravens look so defeated despite being down just 8 points at halftime on their own field. Tennessee played its best football on fourth downs for the Ravens. Stuffed all 4 of them. Very impressive. That hasn't happened all year against Baltimore. And you hear Mike Vrabel say, I think that underdog thing is kind of overrated. Survive in advance. That's the name of the game. One game at a time, but don't tell me that it's like any other game. I heard Jimmy Garoppolo say that after the Niners win. Oh, it's just like any other game. That's BS, man. It's your first playoff start. Don't try to sell me it's just like any other game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get right back to your calls here in a second, but I wanted to give you some of the inside details on what we believe is going to happen or be announced on Monday, but what's been widely reported, the Cleveland Browns tabbing Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski, who was a finalist for their job a year ago when they went with Freddie Kitchens instead. Now they wait a year to get their man. He waits a year for them to make up their minds. And the Cleveland Browns will bring in another first-time head coach.
He's 37 years old. He's young. We don't know a lot about him in terms of his managerial skills. And I think at the end of the day, are you a good CEO will determine whether you're a good head coach. We know guys that are great at X's and O's who have failed as head coaches because that hasn't translated in terms of motivating the players. And it seems like people who talk about Kevin Stefanski can't say enough how good he is at relating to people, whether it's the people above him, whether it's his players. And in fact, Brad Childress, who hired him 14 years ago, actually said, told Tom Pelissero at NFL.com, said the best thing about Stefanski is he can keep a cool head when everyone else is losing theirs. And that's something we saw week in and week out in Cleveland. So the fact that Stefanski is now the next in line to be the Browns head coach, and we know that, that quote from Brad Childress, says they're going in the right direction. I think ultimately owner Jimmy Haslam will have to be patient, something he has not been during his tenure as Browns owner. If he can be patient, get out of the way, the Browns can be successful. If not, we'll be having this conversation again in probably about 12 months.
Ryan Wilson, NFL insider on CBS Sports HQ, as the news was breaking. And I'll just be honest, I have zero confidence that Jimmy Haslam can be patient. And I'm surprised not in Kevin Stefanski, because again, he was a finalist a year ago and he was Paul DePodesta's choice a year ago. Now, Paul DePodesta is the guy who came from outside of football. If I'm not mistaken, he was with the Mets as an analytics guy, right? He was a baseball guy and he got hired by the Browns predating Hugh Jackson. He wanted to hire Sean McDermott. Here's how the story goes. He wanted to hire Sean McDermott. Instead, they hired Hugh Jackson. He wanted to hire Kevin Stefanski a year ago. Instead, the team went with Freddie Kitchens. Now he finally gets Stefanski. There's also a lot of talk about why not Josh McDaniels. So the Patriots offensive coordinator is once again the guy on the outside looking in. Now, 2 years ago was his choice when he left the Colts high and dry at the altar after he'd agreed to become their head coach. Bob Kraft made him the NFL's highest paid assistant. He went back to New England. And please don't give me the line about how he doesn't need to rush. He's the Patriots' heir apparent. Oh, yeah, right. First of all, there's no such thing as a guarantee when it comes to that, unless he has it in writing. Second of all, he's still interviewing, which means he's still interested in becoming a head coach, even if he does end up going back to New England to succeed Bill Belichick. And also, when is that going to happen? Yeah, because he really looks like he's lost a lot upstairs, right? He's losing it because the Patriots only won their 11th straight AFC East title. So it doesn't mean he can't take another job if he is the heir apparent to Bill Belichick in New England. But also, the speculation flying about regarding Josh McDaniels. He had a 7-hour interview. The Cleveland Browns flew him and his wife to Ohio. He's an Ohio native, if you didn't know. He's talked about wanting to coach Cleveland in the past. And so this fascinates me. I want to know why he's not the next head coach in Cleveland. The team didn't want him. He didn't want the job. It's probably somewhere in the middle. What we keep hearing is that there wasn't enough power with the package, that he wanted a full restructure. Translation, likely didn't want to have to answer to the analytical guy in Paul DePodesta, wanted more control over personnel decisions, and so the pieces did not mesh. There were also reports, and I saw this from my friend Benjamin Albright, who's an NFL insider based in Denver, as well as Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, that Kevin Stefanski agreed to jump through some hoops. So in other words, he agreed to not have all the power, though he does have some input on general manager. He agreed to, I'm trying to think of the right verb here. He agreed to bow to analytics, to make sure that analytics were incorporated, because that's what they want right now in that front office. It's another reason why John Dorsey agreed to leave, or why he was shown the exit, because he wanted to do it his way. And Jimmy Haslam and Paul DePodesta, that's kind of where all the power is funneling through. They want the focus to be on analytics. Kevin Stefanski agreed to submit game plans and to go through weekly meetings with the owner. Now, a lot of the talk is that it's been so dysfunctional for so long that Haslam wants to see how the process is working before he kind of steps back. He wants to know that everybody's getting along and working together and collaborating. But dear Lord, yet again, they're starting over with a first-time head coach. Do I think Stefanski has all the tools? Yes. Do I think that it can get lost in what has been a front office with a lot of turmoil and a lot of turnover and a lot of transition? Yes. But do I think Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and the others on the offense, once they rebuild the offensive line, do I think those guys should be excited about working with Stefanski? Sure. The numbers have been great this year and last year for Kirk Cousins, as well as Dalvin Cook, who was the focal point of that offense, Kyle Rudolph, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. The offense was fantastic this year. And so Kevin Stefanski has a lot to offer. But I can't help but wonder about all these other stipulations. And also, why Josh McDaniels was there for 7 hours and then ended up getting passed over for the job. He wasn't even a finalist. The other finalist was Robert Saleh from the San Francisco 49ers, their defensive coordinator. So, yeah, read up on what you know, the people that you follow, the insiders that you trust, but take everything with a grain of salt because it's Jimmy Haslam and it's the Browns. And I do not have confidence that he will be patient. Maybe he's turning over a new leaf as well. 855-212-4227. Let's see. Let's talk to Sean, who's listening in California. Sean, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Amy. Yes, can you hear me? Okay.
Kind of.
Oh, kind of. Okay, I'm on speakerphone. So, okay. Can you hear me okay? Yes?
Your phone is really crackly, so we're going to let you go. Let's talk to Will. Will, you've got 90 seconds. Actually, not even. So, go.
Yes. I'm going to tell you this here. Football has diminished to the point where you got 32 teams in the league, and you only got 19 of them to play 500 balls. So it's over with, you know, as far as that's concerned.
It's over with? As in it ceases to exist?
They had 16 teams before the AFL came in. And so what it was, they had a 45-man squad, which was 720 players. Now you got 32 teams with a 53-man squad at 1,696 players.
Uh-huh.
1,696 players is not as good as the best 720. Quantity has ruined quality. That's why you got the league where this team plays today, Kansas City.
Okay. So you don't enjoy what you're seeing?
No, I'm not saying I'm not enjoying it. It's just entertainment. It's no longer a game. It's no longer a game. Football was played in the 60s when you had football. That's why I like the Green Bay Packers, because they don't play the umbrella thermostat football.
Oh, okay. All right, sir. Well, I'm glad you're still entertained. That's the most important part. Thank you so much for your phone call from Michigan. So, definitely not what I expected to end the hour. It's not a game. It's just entertainment. I mean, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. It shocked me once again. It was fast. It was furious. There were jaw-dropping moments. There are Monday MVP candidates that we want you to vote for. So check them out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. We got 1 hour to go, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.